Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Man is called by the Lord to worship and to serve God in life. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now this calling comes through the preaching and the hearing of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God calls man through the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. God calls man and draws man to Himself through Jesus Christ. And this is accomplished through teaching and through learning. John 6, 44 and 45, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. God calls. Man must respond to that call. God motivates man to respond favorably and to come to Him by appealing through fear of hell, Matthew 10, verse 28, and also through the expectation of reward, Matthew 5 and verse 12, as well as by His own goodness and love, Romans 2 and verse 4. We are going to concentrate on the motivation of the expectation of reward. Let me submit to you some passages of Scripture, the first being Matthew 6 and verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In Mark 9 and verse 41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Hebrews 11 and verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches or the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. And earlier in that same chapter, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 27 through 29, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Now the Apostle Peter asked a very logical question that all ask when considering being a disciple of Christ. Where is the benefit in following Christ? And we might add here, too, that too many want to know what they can get out of anything before they give anything for the benefit of God. Well, God is not appealing to selfishness by offering rewards. He is merely motivating man to do what is good and right. Selfishness is evil, and God does not tempt men to do evil, James 1 and verse 13. Giving rewards is God's way of manifesting His love upon those who will return His love. And rewards do encourage us to respond to God's love, do they not? It helps us to understand the nature of man and God's compassion toward man. Now, we're never to think that we receive from God's spiritual rewards because we've earned them, or that we merit them. Men may toil and reap certain rewards from their labors, and maybe do them. But we cannot earn the spiritual blessings that God gives. His gifts to us are not in payment for our righteousness. The glory and honor for man's reception of God's gifts belongs entirely to God. God's gifts can be classified as both physical and spiritual, or maybe put it another way, temporal and eternal. They are blessings for this life, as well as blessings for the life beyond this one. Well, every blessing is from God, James 1 and verse 17. It is a good admonition that we sometimes sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. Not all physical blessings are conditioned upon man loving God, however. Matthew 5 and verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Why, you know the wicked often prosper in the material things of this life. They can gather the fruits of the proper application of certain principles of gain as much as anybody else. And we should not fret over their prosperity. We have to consider their ultimate accounting. Proverbs 24 tells us, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious of the wicked, for there shall be no reward to that evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. And Psalm 37 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And the psalmist said, I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But even the wicked are indebted to God for life, for health, for opportunity, for their material gain, even though they do not honor him for it. Christians are not promised a material abundance in this life, but they are promised an abundant life, John 10 and verse 10. But we must remember Luke 12 and verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Friend, there's more to life than the material things of life, even though some material things are necessities. It is well that the child of God read and reflect upon the promises of provision that are found in Matthew chapter 6, if we will seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. We're not promised all of our wants, but our needs. As God sees, we have these needs. But as great as this assurance of material provision is, this reward and blessing is less significant than the spiritual rewards. All of the spiritual blessings from God are not confined to this life or just to the next life. They are involved in both the here as well in the hereafter. Now, many of the blessings are received and enjoyed here and now, but only the child of God is promised the spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. One must be in Christ to have God's spiritual blessings, and it is important that we know how to enter into Christ. Men can know that his sins are forgiven. When we realize that we do sin, Romans 3 verse 23, and that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. There can be no comfort of mind without knowing that our sins are forgiven. Upon certain conditions, God forgives sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Salvation is in Christ. We are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. We do not have to live life in fear and dread of condemnation, because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1. And that which bars a person from heaven, the barrier of sin, it can be removed. Colossians 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, when we are forgiven and we come to Christ and we are in Christ because we have believed in Christ, repented of our sins, confessed our faith in Christ and been baptized into Christ, this does not mean that we shall no longer be tempted. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 warns, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. But what it does mean to be in Christ, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, is, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Friend, when we do sin, 1 John 1 and verse 7, but if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Yes, when we sin, we have a way of forgiveness. And that way of forgiveness is Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have that much desired blessing of peace, spiritual peace with God. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 15, but God hath called us to peace. Ephesians 2 and verse 14 says, He, Christ, is our peace. Now, of course, there are three kinds of peace. There is peace within ourselves, and even in time of trouble, we can have peace within. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Few things are more desirable than a good conscience. When you know you can face yourself and can live with your own deeds, even know that you are doing what is right, and know that you are part of something greater and bigger than you are, then you have blessedness indeed. And we can have this peace within ourselves, when we are in Christ. But another kind of peace, following Christ, can produce peace with our fellow man. We realize that it can also produce conflict sometimes with others. How mankind has plotted and schemed and searched for ways to live peaceably beside each other, and yet there seems to be more and more strife and warfare. Of course, it takes two to have peace between the two. One cannot make peace by himself, and not all people will follow the Lord, and when that is the situation, there cannot be peace, but a sword, Matthew 10 and verse 34, not a literal physical carnal warfare fighting with a sword, but there will be hostility at times. Those that will believe the Lord will be against those that do not believe, and vice versa. But when two walk with Christ, they will also be walking together. The closer one draws to Christ, the closer he is to others who draw near to Christ. Christ brought peace and reconciliation even between the Jew and the Gentile. But the sweetest peace that can exist on this earth is the genuine love and fellowship of Christian brethren. And what a tragedy it is when one will allow sin and error to break that peace. We who are Christians must understand that armies and wars and councils and treaties and world organizations and negotiations, that cannot and will not bring peace. To have peace, there must be the conversion of the hearts of mankind to the will of God. And even though these things have a place in our world and are useful in maintaining some semblance of peace, it is in the Lord's will and only in the Lord's church where people beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Yes, we can have peace with those round about us. But the third kind of peace that we have in Christ is the greatest of all three, and that is peace with God. Romans 5 and verse 1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we declare war against God by our sins. We must be reconciled to God, and only through Christ can this reconciliation be realized. Ephesians 2 and verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. To live in peace with God means life has meaning and life has purpose. We can enjoy the sense of accomplishment of that which is eternally worthwhile. We're permitted to live even our last days without regret, We live day by day with what Paul calls that blessed hope in the heart, Titus 2 and verse 13. And who can measure the value of dying at peace with God? Revelation 14 and verse 13. The blessings that we've been naming, they're both physical as well as spiritual. But they are blessings that we can enjoy in the here and the now. Surely, the grandest blessing of all is the reward in heaven. In Matthew 5 and verse 12, for great is your reward in heaven. In Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, now notice the reward. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Friend, the reward of heaven, an eternal existence of bliss and joy in heaven that shall never be interrupted, is far too marvelous for adequate description. But such shall be the eternal destiny of those who live and die faithful in Christ. As John wrote in 1 John 3 and verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now while the full import of that statement may escape us, we cannot doubt the glory of reward that awaits the faithful child of God in Christ. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.